Thanks for spending time with us on The Green this week. I'm Tom Byrne. If I asked you who Kristen Crouch was, chances are few of you would identify him as a beer brewing pioneer known as Delaware's father of lager beer. The recently opened Wilmington Brewworks Brewery is trying to rectify that. It's joining with Crouch's descendants and others to help raise $2,700 for a memorial to be placed on Crouch's unmarked grave in the Wilmington and Brandywine Cemetery, and perhaps make more people aware of Crouch's contribution to the state's rich brewing tradition, a tradition that's now enjoying a renaissance. For this week's Enlighten Me, I sat down with Delaware beer historian John Medkeff to discuss Crouch and this effort to recognize his beer brewing legacy.
Kristen Crouch is known as Delaware's father of lager beer. Why is that?
Well, because he brought lager beer and lager yeast to Delaware in the year 1850, coming from Philadelphia.
And talk a little bit about his background and kind of, you know, how he wound up in Delaware and producing beer in the first state.
Sure. He was born in Waldenburg, Bavaria in 1805 and immigrated to Philadelphia in 1834, which was interestingly 6 years before lager beer arrived on these shores. And when it did, it arrived in Philadelphia. He began working as a brewer in the city of Philadelphia when he arrived, brewing ale there. With the advent of the clipper ship, it made it possible for delicate ale yeast to make its way across the Atlantic. In the year 1840, John Wagner from Bavaria, a native Bavarian, brought lager with him, where Crouch was already in Philadelphia, and the two undoubtedly must have known one another, because at some point, Crouch, he procured the lager yeast, and in the year 1850, brought it down to Wilmington and established a saloon where he began brewing lager beer.
And a lot of people may not realize that the breweries became a fairly big business in that era. What role did the Crouch's influence play in breweries and brewing kind of building in Wilmington into that kind of fairly substantial industry?
Well, when he started in the 1830s, up until really through the rest of his life, he passed in 1870, brewing at that point, even until after the Civil War, was really an occupation. It wasn't an industry. And it wasn't until after the Civil War, with technological developments and the advancements in refrigeration and brewing science, that brewing was really developed into a bona fide industry. But Crouch inspired other brewers in Wilmington to take up the reins, which they certainly did after the Civil War. John Fehrenbach, who went on to run one of the largest breweries in Delaware, was employed by Crouch at his small, tiny little lager beer saloon. And he went on, as I mentioned, to run one of the largest breweries in Delaware. Joseph Stokel, who was also in Wilmington, Delaware at the time, also a brewer, was inspired by Crouch as well to take it to the next level, if you will, and opened a large lager beer production brewery, which he did in the late 1850s.
So in a lot of ways, he's a pioneer because he kind of brought that initial, pardon the pun, taste for lager beer through his saloon and his brewing there that allowed people maybe just become familiar with it on these shores.
That's exactly right. Not only was he one of the first lager beer brewers in America, lager really, it revolutionized the industry after the Civil War in particular, when you also had coincidentally, the arrival of a lot of Germans coming to the shores in the late 1840s and 1850s. Through the Civil War period, all those things kind of conspired to allow this industry to really flourish.
But it had to start with someone, and certainly he was one of those people. You mentioned the German connection. Beyond beer, he was also somewhat influential in Wilmington's German community at the time, correct?
Right. He was one of the fathers of the Wilmington Germans. He was looked up to quite a bit, and his saloon was a popular meeting ground for Germans in the 1850s. In fact, a singing club that would eventually become the Delaware Sangerbund first met at Christian Crouch's saloon, and in fact, he became their first honorary member. He was charged with making sure that the books were safe. This is before they had a meeting place, making sure their books were safe, that their flag was safe. So he's recognized as being a founder of the Delaware Sangerbund.
So I imagine that that's also part of the way that he was able to kind of connect with people in terms of his beer as well, that he had this kind of network of people that he knew, the social club, the singing club, that allowed him to introduce people to what he was doing.
That's exactly right. And he was also one of the founding masons of the Brandywine Lodge. So he did have these have a pretty vast social network.
So with that in mind, is there any indication why he really didn't grow beyond his Wilmington Saloon or perhaps kind of grow his business in any way, shape, or form?
Yeah, as mentioned, he died in 1870, and this was really before the industry took off in Delaware. He was old at that point, by modern standards. He was 65 years old, and that was old at the time when he passed. So operating his small saloon up until about just after the Civil War, he went to work for the Hartman and Fehrenbach Brewery, and operated a small saloon at a pleasure grounds out at Rosendale Park, which is now incorporated into Brandywine Park, very near where the old Hartman and Fehrenbach Brewery was. He never really was able to grow his business beyond his saloon because there just wasn't a market for it at that time. And there were other younger, more inspired brewers who were able to do that.
So he was really just maybe a little bit before his time.
Exactly. I kind of equate him as being the old 1920, 1930 bluesman who really doesn't get the credit for, you know, building rock and roll into what it became.
So as you noted, he died in 1870. He died broke, buried in an unmarked grave. So how did you uncover his story and this person?
Well, I began doing research for a book that I published a few years back called Brewing in Delaware. I started researching the topic back in the mid-1990s, so I've been doing it for a number of years. And Krausch was one of the first people that I came across. And while there wasn't a compendium of brewing in Delaware, and certainly not of Krausch's accomplishments, it's something I just happened to discover over the time that he was being recognized as being the father very early on. Even as early as the 1860s, he was being called the father of lager beer. And unfortunately, through, I suppose, a series of events unknown to me, he died penniless. And at the end of his life was working for the Hartman and Fehrenbach Brewery.
So fast forward to now, what prompted this effort to raise money and try to place a memorial at his gravesite? You know, why do you feel this is a significant thing?
Well, brewing in Delaware, it's become, again, by the turn of the last century, in 1900, brewing was the sixth largest industry in the state, so it was fairly significant. And, of course, Prohibition killed it. Well, fast forward to the 2010s, and we have it again. We have a revival of brewing. It's an important economic driver, cultural and social meaning place. It's significant to Delaware. I mean, we even have the state tourism department recognizes how important brewing and distilling and wine are to our state's economy and tourism. So it's important. And it's important to recognize the footsteps that we're walking in here, that it didn't just start in, 20, 25 years ago, that there was a significant portion of Delaware's history that's devoted to beer, going all the way back to the Swedes. And Krausch was probably the most significant in driving it forward with the lager beer revolution that occurred after the Civil War.
And the goal is to raise some money to place a memorial at his gravesite. Can you tell us a little bit more about that effort and what the memorial is going to look like and what's really needed to make this happen?
Yeah, so I'm partnering with Wilmington Brew Works, the newest brewery in Delaware, and in fact, the first to operate in Wilmington in the city limits since 1954. So Brew Works, when we began talking about the project, they came up with a beer that is named for Krausch's creation, and we're working towards placing a monument on the spot where Krausch is buried in Wilmington and Brandywine Cemetery. It's going to be about $2,700 for the monument, and we're going out to the public, soliciting public funding so that we can get that marker placed, and it's really kind of what I envision as the start of honoring Delaware's brewing past. There are other projects that I have in mind, but this is really the first going to who I feel is the most significant person in brewing history.
Having said that, are there some other plans to bring more attention to Krausch or maybe some of these other things that you're looking to do that are connected with it that you want to share with us?
Certainly one thing that I've started a few years ago is a project to restore The King Gambrinus statue, which was once stood atop the Diamond State Brewery. This is probably step two towards, and that's a very large goal. That's a $100,000 goal. In the meantime, we're looking towards other things we can do to acknowledge Delaware's brewing past, including the Crouch marker and perhaps some other markers around the state and around the city of Wilmington that will acknowledge our brewing heritage.
Thanks to Delaware beer historian John Medcalf for enlightening us this week. If you want to contribute to the Kristen Crouch Memorial Fund, we put a link to that online campaign on our website, DelawarePublic.org. And you can learn more about Wilmington Brewworks' role in this effort in a bonus interview, also available right now at DelawarePublic.org. And that's all we have time for on this week's edition of The Green. The stories and interviews you've heard are online right now at DelawarePublic.org. Just head to The Green's page on our website. And remember, you can also check out The Green via podcast at our website, on iTunes, and on the NPR One app. We'd also like to hear from you. Give us your feedback and story ideas on our Facebook page, on Twitter, at TheGreenDE, or by emailing us at TheGreen@DelawarePublic.org. Thanks to all those who helped make today's show possible, contributor Eileen Dalabrida, Delaware Public Media Sophia Schmidt, and Kelly Steele. For all of them and the rest of the staff here at Delaware Public Media, I'm Tom Byrne saying thanks for joining us. The Green takes a break next week for Thanksgiving. We'll see you again in 2 weeks for another edition of The Green, where Delaware explores its common ground.